Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our sermon on Names of Wondrous Love this evening, the Alpha and the Omega, as we reflect on our Savior's death, is recorded in John chapter 19, reading verse 30. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God. Several weeks ago, in our series of sermons on the seven churches of Asia Minor, we looked at those terms, Alpha and Omega, as Jesus used them as a description of himself. Jesus also uses those terms in Revelation chapter 1 and chapter 22. He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." These are two terms in names and names of wondrous love that are most befitting our Savior. What do they mean? Well, we recognize them now, don't we, as the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, R, A, and Z. But usually we talk about something not A and Z, but A to Z. Think of the stores and the websites that advertise that they have everything from A to Z. What does that mean? It means if we don't have it, you don't need it. It means one-stop shopping. It means that we are all sufficient. That may turn out to be true. It may turn out to not be true. But when Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega," he really is saying there, "I am everything for you from A to Z. I'm everything you need for your salvation. I'm everything you need for heaven." So this evening we put those two letters of the Greek alphabet together, Alpha and Omega, and together they form a name of wondrous love. Scarcely had the sponge soaked with bitter, sour vinegar moistened Jesus' lips than he cried out, "It is finished." In English, that's three words. In Greek, it's one word of four syllables, tetelestai. It means complete, paid in full, all sufficient. There is nothing needed, nothing left. We are not exaggerating in the least when we say that those words or that word of Jesus is the most important word that he ever spoke. And it's the most important word this world has ever heard in history. It is finished. And this was not spoken in the whisper of a dying person. Maybe you've had that experience where you've been with a loved one or somebody in the hospital or at home, very near death, and they're trying to speak, and you have to get your ear down very close to their mouth because they're so weak that you can't hear what they're saying. This was not a word spoken by a man who had been defeated by death. This was a word spoken loudly by one who had conquered death. This wasn't something whispered by a man who had been defeated by his enemy. But it was loudly spoken by him who conquered and defeated all of his enemies and has won the fight. They are the words of our Redeemer, who is all we need for our salvation. They are the words of completeness. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus' last words, "It is finished," are the last word on our salvation. Nothing more can be said. Nothing more needs to be said. Nothing more can be done. Nothing more needs to be done. Jesus was telling the world loudly so they would all hear, "I am everything you need for your salvation. I have kept the law, all the commandments perfectly for you. I have offered my innocent blood in sacrifice on the cross. For 3 hours, from noon till 3 p.m, Jesus suffered eternal damnation in hell under the full wrath and judgment of God. It is finished. Tetelestai. There's nothing left." The Greeks used that word, tetelestai, when you paid your taxes. When you paid your taxes, the tax collector stamped that Greek word on your receipt. And it meant paid in full. You've paid the full amount. There's nothing due left. It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm perfect obedience from A to Z. I'm perfect blood from A to Z. I'm perfect sacrifice from A to Z. Suffering in hell from A to Z. There is nothing that is left. Jesus' words are the last word on our salvation. The story is told of the man who was fearful of death, and he came to the pastor and he asked him, "What must I do to be saved?" And the pastor told him, "It's too late." And then he really got frightened and said, "No, no, what must I do to be saved?" And the pastor said, "It's too late." And then he added, "It's all been done for you. It's already completed. There's nothing that you have to do to be saved, because Jesus saved you when he died on the cross." Thank God that we know that name of wondrous love, Alpha and Omega, that Jesus Christ in his death is all we need for our salvation. From A to Z, the only Savior, the only sacrifice for our salvation. Jesus gave up his life victoriously. It was not taken from him. And because of that, he is the Alpha and Omega in the sense not only that he's all we need for our salvation, but he's also all we need for heaven. It is finished. The gospel writers tell us that Jesus cried loudly, and then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Did you catch how different Jesus' death is from ours? You and I have to die. We don't choose when to die. We have to die when God tells us it's time to die. We can't add 1 second to our lives, and that can happen at any instant. This was brought home so clearly this last week. Maybe you read about that retired couple from Kokomo that went out to Seattle to visit their daughter who just had a new baby. And grandma and grandpa and the mom, and she had the baby strapped to her stomach, and they were walking through the neighborhood, and they were hit by a drunk driver. And grandma and grandpa were both killed. And the mom and the baby are still in the hospital. You know, when things like that happen, doesn't it just remind us how close death really is to all of us? And how true it is when the psalmist says, "My times are in your hands." But Jesus' time was in his hands. He chose when and how he would die. And it would be after all the scripture was fulfilled, it wouldn't be an instant before he could say, "It is finished." And then, rather than his life being snatched away from him, like that retired couple from Kokomo, Jesus bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. St. Luke tells us another word that Jesus spoke as he did that. He said, "Father," notice not "God" anymore, "my God, why have you forsaken me?" But "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." We too must die. Death is the last enemy that we must fight in the fight of faith. Why is death so scary? Well, I'll suggest because it can come so suddenly, without warning. There are some uncertain aspects about my death. I don't know quite exactly how I'm going to die, what the surrounding circumstances will be. There might be pain. There's certainly going to be a lot of indignity. I'm afraid death with dignity is an oxymoron. If you've ever seen anybody die, you know that there's nothing dignified about it. But there's another reason that many people fear death, not everyone, but many people fear death because they fear that they're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of God. You and I don't have to have that fear. We have fear of uncertainty, don't we? We have fear of the suddenness of death. We have fear maybe of pain and other things. But one thing we don't have is a fear, and that's standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Because Jesus is everything from A to Z we need for heaven. There's nothing I have to take. There's nothing I have to bring. There's nothing I have to be. Jesus Christ has done and is all for me to stand before my holy Savior. For us who stand at the foot of our Savior's cross on this Good Friday, death has lost its sting. Death might roar at us like a lion, but it's a toothless lion who can no longer tear us apart or tear us away from our Father in heaven. Jesus has done everything we need for heaven. He has destroyed the last enemy, death. And God willing, if we're still here on Sunday, we'll rejoice and be glad again in our Savior's resurrection. On this Good Friday, our Savior shows us how to die. To die gladly, to die willingly, to die confidently, so that we can say with Jesus, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," just like Jesus did on the cross. Our Heavenly Father will open heaven for us, and we will be home with Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is all we need for eternal life. As surely as that first Easter followed that first Good Friday, so will Easter follow this Good Friday. If Jesus returns, it won't be like Easter's past, but it'll be even better. But there is Easter going to follow this Good Friday. When our Lord Jesus Christ raises or changes these mortal bodies to be like His immortal body, to take these corrupt bodies and give us glorified bodies like His. We may have our doubts about a store or website that claims to have everything from A to Z. We may rely on their promise, but they may make fools of us and not deliver. But when Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, I'm everything from A to Z that you need for your salvation and you need for heaven," we know that He's telling us the truth. And on that great day, we're not going to be fooled. We're not going to be filled with shame because we trusted in Him and He didn't deliver. But having said with Jesus, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," we will be and live with our Father and our Savior forever. May the Lord, in His mercy, keep us in this Good Friday confidence. Amen.